it's even more impressive.
Good morning, SEC. Come on in. I didn't think this backdrop pretty. I mean, there's big text, but it's an awkward stance there. But come on in. Come on in. The water is fine. We have got a loaded show for you here. Man, I'm telling you what. The coaches, they all, I mean, this is a lot of games. We didn't think about it, but, I mean, we got a lot of football games coming up and a lot of really good. I feel like this week is the week that we start getting a little separation. This is the week that we start figuring out who's the truth and who's been lying to us. But before we do that, let's remind the cousins that we are brought to you by MyBookie. Right now, if you jump on MyBookie and use promo code SEC, you're going to get a risk-free bet this weekend. What does that mean? That means, hey, if you're down here at the Red River, you want to place a little wager on the football team that you think is going to win. You lose, you get your money back up to $500. If you win, you keep the money and take that money over to Tennessee Legend Distillery and tell them the cousin sent you. If you head over there to Tennessee Legend today and let them know that me or Mike sent you over there, not only are you going to get a discount, but you will get a bonus gift. There are two locations in Sevierville. I'll be at one of those locations this Friday. So if you guys are looking for a little sipping, be sure to be up there around 7 o'clock. You will see me up there sipping myself. This week's Tennessee legend goes to Andrea Blackburn. She made it to one of the Sevierville locations. So be sure, if you do make it here or you get it sent to your store, to take a picture, send it to me at thatsecpodcast@gmail.com or the Twitters. And then we'll be sure to highlight you as this week's Tennessee legend. Oh, my goodness. We have got so much to get into as the cousins round in. Be sure to let you know again that we are, you know what? Let's have some fun today on this episode of SEC Hangover. Jason up early. Come on, cuz. He's gifted a membership to Dylan Seaball. Dylan, welcome to the family, courtesy of the legend, Jason James. All right, let's get into it. We got so much to get into. So, I've already kind of teased it about the games this weekend, but what are we ultimately chasing? That number one spot. Here's an interesting stat came out last night from SEC numbers guy. This is the last time each SEC team was ranked AP number one. Now, obviously, there's some teams that aren't on here, but I thought there was some surprises. LSU 2019, Mississippi State 2014, Oklahoma 2011. There's my Vols down there at 98. What the hell? That was a good year, but it was a long time ago. After that, you go back to the 60s to find another one. Arkansas, Ole Miss, and Texas A&M down there at 1957. We're going to have a little separation. We got a chase to that number one spot coming up. Look at all these damn football games. And let's jump right into it. Alabama, Mizzou. This is the game that I think is the game of the week. Why? Because you got two teams, one that feels like they're already there and one that just hasn't got the damn respect, right? The Alabama Crimson Tide. You talk about battle-tested. I don't think there's a better battle-tested football team out there right now. Tough games against Georgia, Vandy, and, of course, Florida State, we won't mention. And then Mizzou, you get the camp. They ain't played nobody, right? They ain't played nobody. Well, what we want ultimately in this game is a good game, right? This is one that's going to come down to a couple of powerhouses. And I feel like, hey, who's going to stop the run? Who's going to play better defense? And who's going to be healthy? And that's what Coach Drink was asked about. Caden Green, is he going to be out there?
And then, you know, Caden Green will be listed as questionable this week. He did get some rehab reps yesterday. Really, the challenge will be to see where he is today and see how that progresses. Won't know for sure or for certain until the end of the week. So follow along closely to the SEC availability report and Pete Thamel tweets, and you'll know. So with that, I'll open it up for your questions. Yes, sir.
I want him there, right? I don't want excuses. That's the last thing we want in this game, right, is to walk away and say, well, if we would have had this or if we would have been this. I don't want that. We want to walk away from this game saying, hey, these are two of the best teams in the country, and this team is better. That's what I want. So I hope he's out there. I hope that extra week of rest has helped him out. But ultimately, I mean, that one is going to be the highlight. And unfortunately, it's still at 11th. They did not flex this game. I don't have too many Kalen. I don't have any Kalen DeBoer. I'm going to tell you, Mike calls him DeBoering, and it was absolutely DeBoering. This is just a football team that is ramping up. You know, at the end of the day, this is a team that got embarrassed week one against Florida State. And unfortunately for Alabama, that's what these AP voters see, right? And don't get me started on them AP voters, but everybody watched week one. They crowned Florida State. They shit on Alabama, and they've slowly been climbing back into this thing. I feel like Ty Simpson's been playing out of his dang mind. Big win against Georgia kind of put them back on the map, and then, of course, Vanderbilt. Now, you don't get the respect outside the Southeastern Conference for a Vanderbilt win, but you should, because this is a damn good football team. And then, like I said, Mizzou hasn't, I mean, since South Carolina, name a competitive ball game. And even that wasn't competitive at all. It felt like it was a little more lopsided. This is a football team that is completely dialed in. Got another week and a half because, you know, half these kids got to take a break during that UMass game. But this is a very rested up football team. Golly, man, I just can't wait. Texas, Oklahoma, the Red River, man. I'd love to have been to this game. I'm going to make it. I promise I will make it at some point. Texas, Oklahoma, I never thought in my dang mind. I thought there was a chance Texas would have one loss coming into this thing. I sure as hell didn't think Oklahoma would be undefeated up to this point, but they are. This is shaping up to be a absolute fist fight, and I can't wait to be a part of it. And I tell you, Coach came out here, the million-dollar question, what about Mateer? How's that hand doing? Well, this is what Brent had to say.
Yeah, Brent, has John Mateer ramped up at all this week, and has he been able to throw the ball at all?
He's doing his normal protocol. He's done zero good-on-good work.
Gotcha. What is it about this injury that...
I don't know. I'm just going to cut you off. I don't know anything about the injury. So I'm just, when they tell me he's available, I'll let y'all know.
Yeah, but Brent, seriously, is he going to be available?
You talked last week just about balancing him wanting to play versus keeping him healthy the rest of the season, mm-hmm. Preserving that. Just how's that balance? How are you going about?
I'm just lean on the doctors. I'm not an expert in any of it, so I literally that's the extent of it.
When you have this situation with the quarterback this week, I know last week you knew it was going to be Michael. This week it seems like maybe it's up in the air. How do you go about it?
John is doing no good-on-good work. So is Michael in Witt right now.
Okay.
So if something changes, I'll let you know.
How have you seen, I guess?
But I think if you're going to play, you got to do good-on-good, right?
Right.
Throw some Skelly, hand the ball off, you know, play on third downs. So...
So going off that, how have you seen Michael, I guess?
Throwing Skelly. Haven't heard that one in a while. I'm going to use that today, so I sound like I know more about football than I really do. And I'm going to tell you right now, this one, if you're following Cousin Eddie at Sooner Scoop, this has been the best part of the updates, the infamous thumb. Will it be ready? I don't know, but I do know. I feel like John's going to be out there, and a part of me that saying this is a lot to do with Las Vegas, right? This is I think the spread's at one point right now. So if this were the opposite, yeah, I feel like Texas would have probably a few more points, but I don't think that's the case. I feel like this is going to be a damn football game. And if he doesn't make it, to sit here and say that this won't be a good game is crazy talk. Because Hawkins, he had his moments last week, but what do you expect? That's his first game. So, this is going to come down to, this may come down to one play. It may come down to one mistake. I don't know, but I tell you what, Sarkisian and company, their back's against the wall. And to sit back here and talk all good about Oklahoma and act like Texas ain't rolling out a good football team out there either is crazy talk, right? Yes, they got absolutely embarrassed in the swamp, right? But there were moments in the game I thought, hey, Arch is looking better. The defense bent at time, but at the end of the day, who wants to play Florida in the swamp? Who wants to play Ohio State on the road? Well, that's exactly what Steve's just said.
I don't know if I'm stunned. I mean, take the other – how many teams are there in college football? 136? Take the other 135 and have them go play at Ohio State and at the swamp. See how they do.
Yeah, see how they do. That's exactly what I would say, Coach. But I wouldn't say it out loud, especially if I'm the head coach down there in Texas, right? So we're going to give you shit. We're going to give you shit because we've petted you all offseason talking about this is going to be a great football team. You got the best quarterback. So I know it's tough, Texas. I know it's tough. It is so tough. But welcome to the SEC. When you're not on top, we are going to complain. We're going to give you shit. That's exactly what we're going to do. Welcome to the conference, all right? And get used to it. Now, when you're on top, like you were last year in the SEC, I feel like then you were throwing them blows. So, and rightfully so. But until you get back there, I feel like you can. But it's going to come down, I feel like, to the defense. If you're asking me how can Texas bounce back, I think the line of scrimmage is crucial. Offense, defense, I mean, they've just been flat out embarrassing here lately. They got to take that next step. They are talented enough. They are that program that could come out here and ruin people's lives. But you do that up front, I think you open it up for Arch Manning. And ultimately, that's what we want to talk about. But I do think them big uglies should be the theme. But Sark does talk about the progress that Arch Manning's making.
Sark, Arch was under a lot of pressure, sacks and hurries. What have you seen from him in that game under duress and still able to make some plays and all the microscopic view of him and how is he handling all that?
I found out he's a tough dude. He fought his ass off Saturday, and those were not ideal conditions for a quarterback to perform under. Is there a couple throws I'm sure he'd love to have back, of course. But he stood in there and he showed a lot of contact courage, taking hits, delivering the ball. There were some really impressive throws in there, and he battled until the very end. And so I think he learned a lot about himself as much as we learned about him, that this guy's got a lot of courage. He's got a lot of toughness. I think he gained a lot of respect from his teammates Saturday, which is a great thing. Does he need to play a little better? Sure. Do we need to play better around him? No question. That's the goal for us on that front.
I'm going to talk about quarterback battles. I think you're going to see it in this one. Florida, red hot Florida, right? Give Billy an extension. Florida is heading over to College Station. And can they keep that momentum rolling? It's going to be tough because you want to talk about momentum. Well, the captains of that team right now lives in College Station. Texas A&M's playing out of their daggone minds right now. I told Mike it's the most well-balanced football team, complimentary football team I have seen. And honestly, super surprised. And this is a battle test. This ain't a team that's played nobody. This is a team that went up to Notre Dame, got a win. Played Auburn, got a win. Mississippi State, red hot Mississippi State, got a win. And I think they're getting better. Now, ultimately, I think this comes down to two guys, Marcel Reed, DJ Lagway, right? I mean, that's the easy answers is, oh, yeah, well, Shane, no shit, it's quarterbacks. But I feel like these are two quarterbacks that haven't quite perfected the game, right? Marcel Reed's had his moments. He's been very flashy, and when he's dialed in, unstoppable. DJ, we've seen the ceiling for this guy, unstoppable. If they unleash that this Saturday, whoever has the better day wins this game. I am absolutely looking forward to this one, and I am curious, what happens? Because we're all asking the question, right? Florida fans are kind of torn. Do I want Billy to win? I don't know. Well, what if they do? I feel like you got a little taste of it, right? Oh, you got a little taste of that dragon. Come on. You get a win here. I feel like this is a, I think we're all back in on the keep Billy bandwagon. But by God, if he loses, then we start looking at that bye week and start putting money together. And he's gone in November. Anyway, Georgia, Auburn, speaking of coaches on the hot seat, I led with, Hugh Freeze. Hugh Freeze was saying, that was a couple years ago, but I love that he was just floored, flabbergasted at how quick Kirby Smart was able to compete in a national championship. Hugh Freeze just needs more time, right? In fact, they asked him about this game, how important this game is, and, you know, there's a lot of factors. Cam's were getting his jersey retired, you know, going to have a lot of recruits in, but I hate how Freeze talks about next year. It's always next year. We're almost there. We're almost over the hump. Hugh Freeze talks about that here.
What kind of a recruiting opportunity is this for y'all? You know, night game, showcase, potentially getting over the hump against biggest rival, Cam's jersey retirement, all that stuff to get those guys in this weekend.
Yeah, I think these are the type of environments you want to get your top guys to, for sure, and even other top guys to see the special atmosphere that we have at Auburn and our special fans and student section and everybody that's so supportive. I think we have an environment here that's very attractive. And as I said earlier, nobody wants to hear, nor do I, that we're closer. But we've got to get over the hump in some of these games and prove that, you know, we just need a little more help to help us get over the hump against all these top 10 teams that we have in a row here, or top 15, whatever they are. I can't keep up with that. But I think we've proven that we're right in the mix with them, and convincing these recruits in a game like this that come help us get over the hump is vital.
I get it. We're always recruiting, right? But Auburn fans don't want to hear that. You should have been over the hump 2 years ago. That's what they're thinking. And help us get through hump days. Cuz of JR, come on, cuz. Appreciate you coming through. The legend gifting Michael Dunlap. Michael, welcome to the family, courtesy of the legend, Cousin JR. Now, we don't want to hear that, right? We don't want to hear that bullshit. Come on, Hugh Freeze. Stop making excuses. Let me get up here. Let me show you Auburn here. All right, this is why we're upset, right? You go on the road. You should have, this is Auburn fans. Now, Oklahoma fans, sit back, enjoy it for a minute. You should have had it, right? Now, there was a couple of plays that didn't go your way, and there's the officiating stuff, so one slipped through your fingers. Then you go over here to College Station, and you have an opportunity to get back on track. But that's what Auburn has sucked at doing, is getting on track. Getting over the hump is what he calls it. No, you got to get over those tough losses. And now you're sitting there with two losses. You're coming into this Georgia game, a huge rivalry. I mean, we forget that this is a rivalry because Auburn's just been irrelevant here lately. But this is a massive rivalry. These guys absolutely hate each other. And we're talking about next year. Let's don't do that, Coach. Let's talk about this game. This is your over-the-hump game. This is the one that gets you back on track. You have got – I can't believe I'm saying this, but you have to win. If you don't win against Georgia – then that's what we hired you here for. We hired you to beat Alabama. We hired you to beat Georgia. We hired you to be competitive in the SEC. They're giving you money to do it. And if you ain't getting it done, there's no hump. Your ass is gone. All right? Now, you know who else is gone? Brock Bowers. Why am I bringing up Brock Bowers? Because somebody asked Kirby about Brock. And why is there not one guy on this Georgia roster that's just taken over like legendary Brock Bowers?
Kirby, a lot of people's memories of the Auburn game is just the way Brock kind of took over down the stretch a couple years ago. This year's team does seem like you all have a lot of weapons at receiver and tight end, but is it better when you do have that like number one go-to guy that – you know you're going to, the defense has to account for, and could you get that still out of this year's team?
If you're asking me, do I wish I had Brock Bowers still? Yeah. I mean, it'd be great, right? Could be a generational player for all I know. I don't know. But I don't prefer it either way. I love the team we have. I love the team we had. There is no, I would rather have one dominant player that can key on and stop. I mean, we had a lot of good players around Brock. So it was great to have him. We've got a lot of really good players now that I have a lot of confidence in, and a lot of ability to spread the ball around to a group of people that's dictated by the defense. I don't think people really understand a lot of our reads are based on what the defense does, because it gives you an advantage if they do this. It's not just him plays.
We understand, Kirby. We completely understand. And I know, again, Georgia's not used to getting it, but to sit here with all that talent and what I've seen the last, this entire season, where is the explosive plays? Where are those weapons? Every now and then you get a little flash of it. And I will say, I enjoyed that Mike Bobo kind of unleashed the playbook last week. Now, there were some bad plays, but I feel like you got to play those to get better at those. So I feel like we got to have some dudes emerge here. And if we can't, then we need to find ways to get them the football, because this is a super, super talented offense, and we're not talking about it. It's a shame right now. You know what else is a shame? That game last year between South Carolina and LSU. Oh, my gosh, right? I still feel like Gamecock fans are pissed because they should have made the playoffs, and rightfully so. When you're that close, I totally get it, because you go back, you circle specific moments. The specific moment was last year against this LSU Tigers football team, man. And that's what somebody asked. They said, do you know who's officiating this damn thing?
Shane, kind of a two-parter. When, as a head coach, do you see the officiating assignments for your next game?
Monday. Sunday night, Monday at the latest.
And just when you look at him, has there ever been an occasion to say, like, maybe that guy, there might be some past history there? Has there ever been an occasion to look at that and lobby for a switch?
Yeah, I know. No. Now, I think my predecessor did that, because I've talked to the SEC head of officials a couple of times, and I think he may have had that conversation. There's God's honest truth, David. There's one time, I think, in 5 years where I saw the officiating crew that was going to be coming in here for that Saturday. And I made a call to John McDade, the head of officials, about what's your thinking here? Like, are you sure about this because of whatever may have happened in the past? But that was probably 2 or 3 years ago when I made that call. I didn't do it last year, and I haven't done it this year. And I didn't do it this week.
Which officiating? No, I'm
just somebody had to ask, right? Hey, Alan, I appreciate this comment, because I thought the same damn thing. I thought Delp, when he hit that gear, this is a guy I'm surprised is not more involved. I mean, I say that. I say that about Cash. I say that about Branch. I know. We're moved on. I got to keep moving, or I'm going to get some of these coach comments left off here. And I don't want to do that, because I think every team should be highlighted. Just like Coach Kelly was asked, you know, in a roundabout way about his quarterback, about this lack of offense. And I just thought this was kind of a funny response.
This game included, but also just around the country, there were a lot of quarterbacks heading into the year that people were very, 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 very excited about, but hasn't always necessarily gone to plan for those guys. So since it's more of a nationwide trend, do you think it's more about quarterback development at the high school level? Is it about the way defenses are sort of attacking quarterbacks nowadays? Like, is there anything that sort of goes into this, or is this just a big coincidence and I'm making this all up?
You left me plenty of room there. Koki, your shield is down. I love it. Look, I come at from this a different perspective, right? I think we have all this build up to the season. We have all this time to read and think about who the best is, and everybody's got to get their shout out as to who the best quarterback is, and and sometimes that's just, you know, not realistic. I think what I'm more interested in is, let's be a little bit more patient. Let's see how this thing plays out. We got a big stretch of games in front of us. Whatever your narrative is on our quarterback, so be it. You earn what you get in everything you do in life. But there's so much in front of us. So I just think maybe the lesson is in everything we do in life, let's be a little bit more patient. Let's wait till all the facts get out. Let's be a little bit more interested in what this process looks like than trying to get out with some kind of announcement right out of the gates. That's just my opinion.
Just be patient. And honestly, I feel like this is a team we haven't been patient on, right? Out of the gate, we crowned them. This is the SEC team. This could be a national championship team. And then we find, I mean, it feels like every win has an asterisk by it. And that's kind of crazy because I'd rather have an ugly win than a pretty loss, if that makes sense. You know, the only game you lost was on the road against a top 10 Ole Miss by 5 points. And there were moments in that game LSU really should have, I mean, they should have been in it. They could have won it, right? Now, Ole Miss prevailed because I felt like they were the better football team, but to sit here and say that the season's over, that the LSU Tigers are done, I think that's crazy talk. So this is a big win for them too, getting on track, and especially if they can come out here with a big win against South Carolina, then we start talking about how relevant the LSU Tigers can be. Now, speaking of relevant, Bobby P coming on over to my backyard wanting to whoop up on my Tennessee Vols. I don't think, not so fast, my friend, but there's a part of me that's wondering, you know, like how excited are they? I mean, you know, because sometimes it does. It's a galvanizing thing when you get a new coach in there. And I probably put too many Bobby quotes on here, but it's just good seeing behind the mic again.
Follow-up to what Matt was asking kind of on how your duties change. How does that change on game day? You have so much experience being an offense coordinator, being a play caller, and doing it as a head coach. So how different will this Saturday be than previous weeks or years?
I don't think it'll be that much different. I've been down on the sideline and called plays for years and years. I went upstairs this year. I thought maybe I could get a better look at it. And to be honest with you, get away from the officials and just be able to focus on offense. So I've got to do a good job of just keeping my poise on the sideline and focus on calling the plays and seeing the defenses and really understanding what's going on out on the field.
You forget, right? You forget just how fiery this bastard can be on the sideline. Well, here's a reminder.
Jeffrey. And look at the face of Bobby Petrino. It wasn't that his arm was going forward. They ruled that they gave him forward progress and that the play was dead before the ball was knocked out.
Does that look like a guy that wants an explanation or what?
Look my players in the eye! Oh, I love it. I love it. Hey, Coach Hopple was asked about McCoy, and I don't think he's going to be there, even though some people have said he was supposed to be.
Coach, I know the injury report is on Wednesday, but has Jermod McCoy hit any more of those benchmarks that you spoke about in August in terms of getting closer to being able to return?
Jermod continues to do a great job in his rehab with our medical staff, our strength staff. Somebody told me there was a report out there of a certain ball game that he's, you know, focused in on as far as returning. I think that's unfair, whoever put that out there. I don't think truly understands, Jermod and the situation. He's done a really good job. He's got more to go. I think it's all about him being prepared to go play. There's a lot of things that go into that. You look at the position he plays, all the reactionary work that you have to have. So you're always balancing his ability to be prepared and short-term and long-term health as well.
I don't know who said it, but when I find, oh, Pete Nakos and Chris Lowe said it. Yeah, he was trying to get back by the Arkansas game. Not going to do it, but that shouldn't be the storyline coming this one. This should be about Bobby P looking for that win. I mean, he's got a small window. I mean, we got offense coordinators coming over and interviewing for this. I mean, could you imagine? You're out here with your boys and you're trying to get this thing going, get this team fired back up, but you're seeing your AD over there doing interviews, but it's a tough spot. But it's a spot that he has an opportunity to do something pretty special. And it got me thinking, how many fired coaches, like after we've had a fired coach, an interim walk in and get a win? Well, I did a little research. Let's talk about Muschamp. Muschamp gets fired. Bobo comes in. What does he do? He loses to Mizzou 10-17. What about Coach O? Coach O gets fired. Brad Davis comes in. Lost Kansas State 20-42. Oh, I'm sensing a theme. Does the same thing happen when Zach Arnett got fired and Greg Knox decided to show up? What? Got a win 41-20 against Southern Miss? Why does that name sound familiar? Oh, yeah, because he followed Dan down here to the Florida Gators, and when he left, Knox won again. Why is he not the head coach? You know, fun fact, Greg Knox was also the interim when Dan left Mississippi State to begin with. Jimbo Fisher. Oh, Jimbo Fisher. When he left, oh, Elijah comes in, gets a win, 38-10. Against Abilene Christian. Now they got smoked the rest of the games. This one right here, this is what made me think about it, because you want to talk about an electric interim. That's what happened here when Cadillac Williams rolled in after Brian Harsin. Now they lost his first game 33-39 overtime against Mississippi State, but they did beat a ranked Texas A&M team, and I think he got another win right after that. So I don't know. I mean, I was hoping that this would give me some insight, like, do teams play better with an interim coach? And I think it's kind of split. And it's not an easy environment for Arkansas, but it is definitely going to be a fun, fun football game to watch. I think there may be 100 points scored in this thing, just like this Ole Miss game. Final game, Ole Miss. No, they're not traveling. These boys, why would they go down? These boys are coming to town. This one should be a pick your score kind of game. I'd love to see some more stats coming out reminding us that Trinidad is the real deal. And I think that's what happens here. So sorry I didn't highlight too much on the Ole Miss, but trust me, there'll be plenty of highlights this weekend. So, all right, cousins, I got to get out of here. We're 33 minutes in this thing. I'm terrible at time management, apparently spelling as well. So, hey, I hope you guys have a wonderful, wonderful Wednesday. Mike's got a noon show coming out. We got a mailbag question. So if you're just a new cousin now and you want your questions, cousins always get their questions asked. So on YouTube, he's posted a comment about the questions. Just put your little question up there. Hopefully it's food related. Doesn't have to be, but you know, Mike's not up yet, so I can say whatever I want. And I appreciate everybody that's given this video a thumbs up, like, subscribe. That really does help the show grow. And if you need any bail money, you got my number. See ya. Go Vol.
Hey buddy, this beer's for you, Mike, and cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.